Starsports.bet provide the complete betting experience. Find us online via our website and app, on course, and at our flagship betting shop in London's Mayfair. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.
Light the candle, Tiger!
Hi there, welcome along. Thanks for joining us. It's the Racing Post Golf Postcast. Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Star Sports Glenn Day. Yeah, Glenn's back from illness and we're looking ahead to two great tournaments. We've got the Dunhill Links Championship taking place at three courses up in Scotland. And over in America, the Safeway Open. I don't know why Safeway still sponsor golf tournaments because I can never find a Safeway anymore, but maybe they've got branches in America as well. Anyway, the lads are hopefully brimming with winners. Before we look ahead though, let's look back on last week at the European PGA Championship at Wentworth, won by Danny Willett. Back to form, Danny Willett. And over in America, Sebastian Munoz broke Steve Palmer's heart by defeating him in the playoffs. So let's look back and see how last week was. First of all, Glenn, you've passed your fitness test. How are you?
Yeah, fine. Thanks, Bruce. Yeah, just a bit of a stomach bug or say, and recovered now, raring to go.
No doubt you would have tipped both winners last week.
Obviously, massive each way double. Now, you got half of my bet right last week with the Wiesberg at Connors. I stuck with Connors, availed myself of the 50-1 early, but he was most un-Corey Connors like last week. No good in the BMW, I'm afraid. No. And I didn't back Wiesberger last week, left him alone, but no good.
And presumably from a company point of view, were you happy that Willett beat Rahm?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, they both were decent results. Willett the better of the two. As you alluded to last week, we were very aggressive on the front of the market. But we didn't see a lot of business. Plenty of business for the sort of middle ranks, if you like. But yeah, very busy and a very good result overall.
Good, excellent. Steve, how are you? Have you recovered? Because, I mean, that was quite a traumatic Sunday night in the end, wasn't it? He got himself in the box seat and then got himself out of it, didn't he, Im?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the most savage results of what has been a very savage season, actually. Nine players have tipped this year, have finished second, nine second places. It looked like his name was on the trophy when he was sitting in the clubhouse there, 18 under par. That 18th hole that Munoz needed to birdie to get into a playoff is the hardest hole on the course. Only four players had birdied that hole that day. So, yeah, heroic effort from Munoz to force that playoff. And it wasn't just the fact that that Im didn't win that hurt so much. I mean, Sebastian Munoz, you ask about our eye catchers, don't you, at this stage of the podcast?
Yeah,
every
you put
week.
Him last, up, didn't you?
Yeah, he was the eye catcher because he finished so well the previous week, three consecutive 66s. But obviously not eye-catching enough for a knob like me to include him in the staking plan. So, yeah, I was desperate for Munoz to go away. I mean, we had a bit of dual forecast action on the Sunday. We tipped that on the Golfwise Extra, the Munoz-Im dual forecast, but it was no consolation. I mean, I desperately wanted Sung Jae Im to win that. It's a £7,000 difference for me. And, gut-busting week.
Oh, well, yeah, don't forget Golfwise Extra. Pretty much every day as the tournaments take place, you get updates from Steve or one of the other Racing Post experts. Always worth checking out. And that was a 14-1 winner. But, you know, people always say, how did you celebrate? With you, I have to ask you, how did you commiserate, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, it was late as well, wasn't it? 20 past 11.
Too late for the pylon, yeah. I presume.
Too late for the pylon. I mean, it's so dark, I wouldn't be able to find the pylon. But, yeah, the family was sleeping upstairs, you know, blissfully unaware of what was going on downstairs. Yeah, it was a tough one. I always find question of sport replays on quite late. You always find like a match of the day or a question of sport that you can watch until like by about half past 12. I was ready to rest the brain. But yeah, I mean, it was a difficult one because Shane Lowry obviously he did grow into the tournament, didn't he? The BMW. Shane Lowry was our man in that one, and we expected him to make a potentially sluggish start and then grow into it. And he did that. He closed with a 66, finished 11th. Really unlucky in the first round, actually. But yeah, it's one of those weeks that I want to forget about as quickly as possible.
Okay, well, before we do look ahead, Steve, I do want to just tap you up for one or two eye catchers. Was there anyone you thought, he's going to be worth following in the coming weeks? Given that when I asked you the same question last week, as you've just said, you said Sebastian Munoz.
Yeah, sure. I mean, well, obviously, we need to commend Danny Willett because when he gets in contention, he's really good at sealing the deal now, isn't he? Very composed performance there. I thought, up against John Rahm, really intimidating opponent. Willett didn't bat an eyelid and, he's won plenty of really big tournaments now. But I thought Christian Bezuidenhout was the real eye catcher. I mean, that was his Wentworth debut. He finished third, seemed entirely comfortable with, playing in front of these big crowds. So, put Christian Bezuidenhout on a tough tree-lined course like Valderrama where he won and now Wentworth. And, he's a big player. So, yeah, Bezuidenhout in the BMW. And then across the pond, Dylan Fratelli. I think Dylan Fratelli's looking increasingly comfortable on the PGA Tour. And I think he'll win again soon. He won the John Deere not long ago. I think Fratelli, I think he's got a long PGA Tour career ahead of him.
Lovely stuff. Right then, let's look ahead to what we've got this week. And in Europe, it's the Dunhill Links Championship. This is the Pro-Am, of course, that takes place at three beautiful links courses in Scotland. And before the lads tell us who they fancy, Glenn, give us the tournament rating and the latest betting from Star Sports.
Yeah, very solid tournament ranking of 7 this week. 50 odds the first 7 places. 6-1 Rory McIlroy, 7-1 John Rahm, 16-1 Justin Rose and Tommy Fleetwood, 18-1 Shane Lowry, 25-1 Bern Wiesberger, Danny Willett and Tony Finau, and on 28-1 Eric Van Rooyen, Matthew Fitzpatrick and Tyrrell Hatton.
Lovely. So it's a good field, isn't it? Steve, what are you going to go for? Someone at the front of the market or are you going to go delve down the list for a long shot?
My best bet again for the second consecutive week is Shane Lowry, who, as I say, had a really strong finish at Wentworth over the weekend. He was bogey-free for the final 39 holes of the BMW PGA, closed with a 66 to finish 11th, grew into the tournament. He had that month off, so the sluggish start can be excused, but he swung the club really well in that first round. He had lots of lip outs on the green, really unlucky on the greens. And then his closing hole in round one, it looked like a perfect approach to the par five, came up fractionally short, found the water hazard, so a potential eagle turned into a bogey. I like what I saw from the Open champion last week. It was a good return to action. And he's back on links terrain this week, of course.
Okay. And he's got his own nickname now. He's the King of Clara. Is that the official nickname, or have we given him that? Is that like, do you remember when with Nadal, we used to call him the Pearl of Manacor, didn't we?
That's right. No, that's one I've just created because I think it rolls off the tongue lovely. But I don't think the Clara Borough or Council ever have appointed him that, but they really well should do. But,
they should.
The King of Clara, a masterful links exponent. He won the Irish Open as an amateur on the links in 2009 at Beltray. He's lost by a shot in the 2013 Dunhill Links Championship. He was sixth in 2014. 5 years later, much more confident player. He's taken his game to a new level now, hasn't he? And I fancy the Race to Dubai leader to stretch his advantage on Sunday.
Okay, so the King of Clara, Shane Lowry, is Steve's main tip. Glenn, who's your main tip?
Well, Bruce, you'll be pleased to hear I'm sticking with my tip from 2.5 months ago. I said I was going to put this guy up, Robert McIntyre. He's done nothing to put me off recently. Obviously, come from the challenge to a year in the States in America College, come back, turn pro late 2017. Pretty ordinary on the challenge tour until the final part of the season. 4 good finishes to earn a card on the European Tour. Started off this season, only 4 top 20 finishes in his first 12 events, going largely unnoticed, but then highlighted his talent in no uncertain terms, with a tied second finish at the British Masters on a links course at Hillside, finishing just a shot behind Marcus Kinnold. Followed that 2 weeks later on his next start, another second place finish in the Made in Denmark behind my old friend Bern Wiesberger, and also a tremendous sixth place finish at Royal Portrush in the Open this year, coming through the field on the final day. Possibly got the better of the conditions there, but tied sixth for a tour rookie. Fantastic finish. Recently, again, another second place at the Porsche Open, shot behind Paul Casey. He led by 5 shots during the second round there. And that second round, he played near faultless golf. It's fantastic to watch, hitting every fairway, most greens. When he missed a green, his short game was in good order. During a mid-round interview with Tim Barter, he said that how well he was driving it. I'm sure you always like to hear from the players. And he said he found an extra 15 or 20 yards as well, which is, going to always stand him in good stead. And he's obviously maintained that. He ranked 9th in driving distance at Wentworth last week. Again, at Wentworth, he played okay. five under early on in the first round. Unfortunately, missed a few 5 or 6 footers around the turn for pars and birdies. But not something that concerns me particularly, because every time I've seen him play, he generally putts very well. And you need to putt well this week to achieve a good position. Obviously, Scottish, born, would have played a lot of links golf. Forecast if he conditions this week as well, so I'm sure that'll help to bring out the best of him. I think he's got the total game to win round here. He's in decent form. Like I say, 2.5 month wait is over. Let's hope it's all been worth it.
Yeah, don't forget, I did. Can you confirm I did discover McIntyre on this postcast?
You were always mentioning Bruce. Yeah, I'm not going to take all the credit for this.
But I discovered him, but I've completely ballsed it upright because I backed him in March for the Open 5 places and he finished 6. Everyone else was betting to about 15 places by the time it happened. And then that second to Casey the other week was the first time I lost faith in him, and I was absolutely devastated when he was 5 clear at halfway. But now that you've mentioned it, I'm going to get back on the McIntyre bandwagon, and let's hope he has a big week this week. By the way, Steve, Glenn mentioned those mid-round interviews that Tim Barter or whoever's on the Sky Fairways do. Are you a fan of them?
I'm a fan of them as a watcher, but as a punter, it infuriates me when my player is being grilled during the round. You know, I don't know whether I have to do like a study on it to be sure, but it seems to be you bogey the hole as soon as you speak to Tim Barter.
It probably doesn't make the slightest bit of difference, but it just sort of, I agree, it feels like you're like, look, he's in the zone. Stop talking to him. Stop distracting him.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed the players that I've backed who do get interviewed, then they tend to mess up that hole, and obviously I blame it all on whoever has been interviewing him. But yeah, I don't like it. Well, as I say, I like it as a viewer. It's a good idea.
It's great insight, isn't it? It is really good insight. Yeah. A quick word on conditions this week, Steve, before you give us the rest of your tips. I mean, this is one of those weeks where it can be kind of unseasonably blissful or utterly hideous, can't it? I think we're going to fall kind of halfway between both, aren't we?
Yeah, I think the first day is going to be the breeziest and the wettest. And then, a mixture of sunshine and showers from there. Yeah, so moderate breezes, nothing extreme, but certainly not pleasant. Quite chilly, you know, sort of 12, 13 degrees. So it's a classic Dunhill Links.
And you get some really, really fun matchups. I see Tony McCoy is playing with Vladimir Klitschko on Saturday. That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you've got to have a look at who the pros have as their amateur partner, because it can affect how they go about their business. I mean, Shane Lowry's with Jerry McManus, which I believe is JP's younger brother, long-time friend. He's played with Jerry McManus in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am as well as this one. So no problems for Shane Lowry.
But I remember when people used to say, look, you know, some of the players who've got slightly shorter fuse might not particularly like this kind of thing. But there's a notorious hothead in Tyrrell Hatton. His form figures for this in the last 3 years are 1-1-2. So some of them who you think might not like the kind of razzmatazz and the bants actually come good, don't they?
That's right. It'd be interesting to see how John Rahm takes to it. Obviously, it's his debut in this competition. He's playing with Edorta Rahm, who I only discovered 5 minutes ago. He's playing with Edorta Rahm. So I don't know whether that's his brother or his sister. Is Edorta a Spanish name you're familiar with?
Edorta, as in?
Edorta. Edorta.
All right. I thought you meant he was playing with his daughter. He's only about 24, isn't he?
I don't think he's got a daughter. But yeah, I'm in the process, as we speak, of finding out who Edorta Rahm is. But I mean, he won't like the 6-hour round, surely. I mean, these rounds drag on and on. I can't really see Rahm's patience lasting with the 6-hour round.
Okay. Well, let's see who else you like. I think there's 3 others, aren't there?
That's right. 3 outsiders, big prices. Next best is Joachim Lagergren. Lagergren made his debut in this competition as world number 387 in 2015. No right to play well, finished 4th. 12 months later, he turned up slightly higher in the world rankings and finished 4th again. And then in 2017, he finished 12th. So 3 times in 4 visits, he's been in the mix in the Dunhill. He loves this tournament. He arrived in abysmal form last year. He just missed 3 cuts in a row. And he flopped in the Dunhill for the first time. But I think his normal service will be resumed this week. He's back in really decent nick. He loves links golf generally. His only European Tour title came in the 2018 Sicilian Open. And that was at Vidura, which is a seaside track designed by Carl Phillips, who also designed Kings Barnes. And Philip said his aim when he was creating Verdura, quite a modern track, was to make it something similar to an ancient Scottish link. So I love the fact that Lagergren's won at Verdura. Form-wise, serious encouragement for Lagergren fans. He was 10th in the Scandinavian Invitation. Then he opened up with a 77 in the European Open, and we thought, oh, he's back to square one. But he fought back to finish 20th in that. And then he took 7th spot in the KLM Open and carded 4 under par rounds at Wentworth last week. So Lagergren bubbling into form for his favourite event. He's won a Challenge Tour event in Northern Ireland. He's not scared of any rough weather. So I thought Lagergren was a really, really good each way bet at fancy prices.
Okay, and the other two?
And the other two is Romain Langasque, super talented French youngster. He'll be thrilled to be back in Scotland. He won the Amateur Championship in 2015, you know, the premier amateur event at Carnoustie. So he's back on that course for one round this week. And he banked the biggest check of his career in the Scottish Open in July, finished 3rd in the Scottish Open, another links track. And his European Tour form figures, last 3 starts, 48, 27, 17. He closed with a 67 at Wentworth on Sunday. So I see him continuing that progressive form at a venue which suits. And then the final one is Ross Fisher. He's been Dunhill Links runner-up 3 times. He lost a playoff in 2008. Then he was 2nd to the aforementioned Tyrrell Hatton in 2016 and 2017. So he's overdue a Dunhill win. And there'll be signs of late that his game is coming around. He fired an 8-under par back 9 in round 3 at Wentworth on Saturday. He closed with an albatross, which won him that fancy BMW. Did you see that shot, Bruce?
No, I didn't. So 8-under, yeah, yeah. So what? He came home in like 27 or something?
Yeah. 8-under par for the back 9 and made an albatross 2 up the last. And anyone who did that was going to get this 133 grand BMW. So it was a massive fillip, particularly for Fisher, who is a massive car fan. You know, he loves his car. So he was thrilled by that. He had a big celebration on Saturday night. He didn't play well on the Sunday, but he admitted he was so thrilled to get this BMW Roadster thing. So the form's coming back for Fisher. He's a proven Dunhill performer. The first of his 5 European Tour victories came in on links terrain. He's won once in England. He's won once in Ireland. He's won the Ryder Cup in Wales. And I think now Scotland's on his radar this week.
Super. Thanks, Steve. Glenn, who else have you got apart from our man Bobby McIntyre?
Yeah, second one in the pub, South African Eric Ben Royan, another guy who just seems to play well every week. Started off on the European Tour, playing only in the South African early season events with moderate success. Played on the Challenge Tour 2017. Gained a first win on the tour that year. Last year on the full tour, a few ordinary finishes before another one showcasing his talents in the Irish Open at a links course. He was 4 shots clear after 54 holes in a good field, including Rory McIlroy and John Rahm. He wasn't the first rookie to find himself in that position and fell away on the last day, still finishing a tie for 10th. Had a few more decent finishes after that, but this year he's carried on improving. 6 top 10s, 12 top 20s, and he has now gained that first win in the Scandinavian Invitational. Well, I think he showed a lot of bottle at the end. He could easily have found himself in a playoff. He had about a 12 or 14 footer on the last for a birdie to win it and hold it. For a well-deserved first win, played good golf that week. He's played well in the 3 majors that he's played in this year. Tied 8th in the PGA, a tough course at Bethpage. Tied 43rd at the US Open, tied 20th in the Open. He's shown that he can play links golf, he's had at 4th in the Irish Open in 2018. Tied 17th at the Open last year. Tied 14th in the Scottish Open this year, where he was in contention to win, an early quadruple bogey. Unfortunately, he got tied up in the rough early on, put Patriot chances winning, and again tied 20th in the Open this year. He did miss the cut in this event last year.
There can't be any more. There can't be any more. Blimey, you're basically reading his life story out to me here, Glenn. That's unbelievable. The level of research is astonishing. Go on.
I was just going to say, I missed cut in this event last year. Doesn't deter me, because I say he comes in as an all-round better player. Recent form figures, tied 14th, tied 20th, tied 5th, 1st, tied 12th, tied 14th. Different courses requiring different skill sets. Just shows that his all-round game is in good working order. And in his last 4 tournaments, he's ranked 5th, 5th, 16th and 1st in putting. I think 33-1 looks fantastic value for a player in such good form.
Fantastic. Wow, that is one of the most comprehensive cases I've ever heard. Well done. I literally have to bat Van Rooyen now. I feel like I know everything about him. Have you got any others for us?
That's weird. I didn't feel like there was too much in there.
No, it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
I'll take it. I'm going to mirror Steve with Joachim Lagergren as well. I won't add too much to what Steve said, but he's a guy I remember first watching it. First time I saw him was in this when he finished fourth, and I thought he's got a really good game for Lynx Golf. Obviously, he plays that year. I backed him the following year, like I say, finished fourth again. Obviously, likes the place, handles the element with the pros, so I could see him play well again at a fair price. And the last one is very, very speculative, very short. Another young Scot, Callum Hill. He's having a really good season on the Challenge Tour. College in the States for 4 years. Stayed on, did another 2 years and gained a Master's in the Business Administration. So, obviously, played most of his golf stateside. Come over here and played in the Scottish Open. Finished tied 26th in, a good quality field. And the confidence he gained from that was obviously gleaned in these performances on the Challenge Tour, where he went win, tied third, win, tied seventh. Did unfortunately miss the cut in his last outing. And limited stats to go on the Challenge Tour. But in the Scottish Open, he did rank seventh in driving accuracy and tenth in scrambling. At like 200, 251 available, I think he could, you know, could give you a little bit of a run as a no-name.
I've just found him, Callum Hill, 250-1. Wow, that's offbeat. Let's spin through the other market leaders and get a quick view on what the lads think there. Rory is a short price favourite. Who is he playing with? Someone he'll have some fun with out there, Steve?
His dad. Yeah, he'll have a lot of fun with his dad.
Yeah, absolutely. Can he win it?
Yeah, but it's the same price as he was last week. Opened with a 76 last week. His backers knew their fate very early. He's got Carnoustie in round one, so you know, could be slow at the gates again. He was 63rd on his last visit to the Dunhill. Doesn't like long rounds. He likes to get on with it. Then he doesn't like bad weather. So, yeah, I think it's enough to say he's bad value at 6-1.
Okay. What do you think of Justin Rose's chances, Glenn? He's getting on my nerves a bit. I mean, I love him. He's obviously such a nice man. But I backed him last week, and I thought he has to reach the front four, and then he completely balls it up late on. So can Rose bounce back?
He can, but it's just, I mean, I'll say every time you ask me about it, he's just something not quite there on his game. And I actually mentioned that on TV last week, that, and he always seemed to contend, but something just isn't there and it seems to be holding back. They couldn't put their finger on it, and I certainly can't. Obviously, he had that really bad hole on Sunday, but he had new clubs at the start of the year and he won. So you can't use that in his script. But something's not quite clicking for Justin Rose. Yeah, of course he can win. We know he can. He's a great player, but not for me again this week.
Tommy Fleetwood is around about the 16-1 mark. Steve, could he be a value bet?
Yeah, he's dangerous, isn't he? He's an excellent Lynx player, runner-up in the Open in July. Superb Dunhill form figures. 5, 55, 5, 2, 13, 15, 25, 2. I mean, that is ruthless consistency. Just not done quite enough lately to justify a bet for me.
It's a funny player, Glenn. Tony Finau. I mean, he's on the leaderboard week after week, but I think if you backed him, you've basically just got a year's worth of near misses, haven't you?
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Again, he said, I don't bet any post on golf very often. He's one I backed for the Open, but didn't have the year I was hoping for. Would have gone off shorter. But he seems to get on all right with Lynx Golf. Played okay last week. Got a bit derailed at the weekend. But yeah, they keep going about how infrequently wins. That's that one win, I believe, isn't it? So he's got himself up the world rankings on placings. But do you want to take 25-1 about a guy that doesn't get over the winning line?
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? Now then, Danny Willett, Steve, can it? What sort of celebration do you think he'll have been on? Is his brother still a Twitter legend?
I think his brother's gone very quiet, hasn't he, since all that hoo-ha. No, I don't think he's a Twitter legend anymore. But yeah, Willett had his family with him at the BMW, so I think it's all calm, cool, calm, collected as far as the celebrations go. I mean, he's a family man now, isn't he? So yeah, I don't know. He's good on Lynx terrain. He's got every chance, yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't put anyone off him?
No. I think if he can maintain concentration, back-to-back wins are feasible.
Okay, and for the first time in about 13 postcards, Glenn hasn't tipped Bernd Wiesberger. Why not, Glenn?
No, just, I mean, driving last week, he started off terrible, didn't he? And I thought, that's it, his bubble's finally burst. I can forget about him for a few months. And he managed to claw his way back into it. He's got fantastic form around here as well, hasn't he? Missed cut, 12th, 14th, 4th and 7th. Hasn't played here for a couple of years. It's just funny, you can't put guys out every week. 25 to 1, fair enough sort of price, but you know, I'll leave him alone this week. But definitely can contend.
Are you level-headed, Glenn? If he pops into contention on Sunday afternoon, will you be sitting there going, no, get away?
I won't quite. Not as I say, not at 25 to 1. I say decent strength field up front. I'm sure he will be. I'm sure he will contend, but no, I can let him go this week.
You can't tip him all, can you? Anything else on the Dunhill link, Steve, or are we all done?
I think we're all done. I think we better get on to the Safeway.
Okay, let's do that next.
On the move. Follow all the latest starsports.bet golf prices hole by hole on our website and betting app. Just search for Star Sports Bet on the App Store or Google Play. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. We've done the Dunhill Links. Let's do the Safeway Open, which takes place at the Silverado Resort and Spa in Napa, California. Steve, what sort of track is this?
Yeah, 7,166 yards, par 72, tree-lined track, which has been used since 2014. Fairly tight in places, small planar greens, tidy tee to green golf and a sharp short game, the key to success.
Righty-ho, Glenn, tournament rating?
7.
Hey?
7.
Oh, 7, sorry, mate. You sounded a bit like Len Goodman on Strictly Come Dancing there. 7! Okay, and what's the latest betting from Star Sports?
Yeah, 50 odds, 6 places on this one. 13 to Justin Thomas, 10 to 1 Patrick Cantlay, 14 to Adam Scott and Hideki Matsuyama, 22 Sung Jae Im, 25 Bryson DeChambeau, 28 Ben Ann, Colin Morikawa, 30 to 1 Francesco Molinari, and 33 to Brent Snedeker.
So some of the big names are back from their little month off. Let's see if the boys fancy them or whether they will be going for some of the guys who've been grinding it out in their absence. Glenn, you go first. Who's your main man this week?
I'm only actually going to put one up. I'm not particularly inspired by it. So, yeah, some good players at the front of the market, but I can find lots of reasons not to put them up. So I'm just going to go with one sort of token tip, really. A guy that I backed last week, Lanto Griffin.
Sorry,
who is on your radar? Lanto Griffin. I said before last week, I didn't know too much about him. He's played on tour previously in 2017-18, moderate success. But had a really good season on the Korn Ferry Tour last year, gained his second win and posted 4 other top 10 finishes. His first win, just out of note, he was the first player in 13 years to win a tournament, having made the cut on the mark, shooting 62-68 a weekend. So, shows he can do it the hard way. Started this current season with 2 decent finishes, tied 13th for the Greenbrier, and say tied 11th last week. He's good length off the tee. He's not particularly accurate, unfortunately, which is something he's needed around here, but I'm hoping to get through with that. But he's a very, very good putter. He's got great stats putting, and he's just in fantastic form. If you look at all these figures, I know it's Korn Ferry as well, but loads of top 10s and top 20s. So he's a token tip, really, for me. But he's in decent nick and at 66-1. Worth throwing a few quid at.
Okay, I found him. L. Griffin. What does the L stand for again?
Lanto. L-A-N-T-O.
Lanto. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so just the one for Glenn. How many for you, Steve?
I've got 4.
Go on then, spin through them.
Best bet is Colin Morikawa, Los Angeles native, competing in his home state this week. At the age of 22, he's already shown he has the potential to be one of the best players in the world, former world number one amateur. He was 14th in the Canadian Open on his professional debut in June. He was 2nd in the 3M Open, 4th in the John Deere Classic. Then he won the Barracuda Championship in July. A fantastic debut performance to win his maiden PGA Tour title. He got through to the penultimate leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs in just 9 starts. So making course debuts every week. But this week he's actually got some course experience to draw upon. He played in the Safeway Open in 2016. As a 19-year-old amateur, he missed the cut by a couple of shots, but he shot a second round 69. 3 years later, much more accomplished, more confident. Morikawa, you know, the future's so bright for him. He reminds me of a young Tiger Woods. I think he'll become an absolute superstar in time. So Morikawa, number one choice. Next best, Sung Jae Im, the man who's been keeping me up at night the last few nights. Been dreaming about Sung Jae Im. So close to winning on Sunday, but I think he's a sort of character, unlike me, who takes time to go over things. I think Sung Jae Im, sort of character that would shrug off that disappointment quickly. He was smiling after the playoff. His caddy was all smiles, but Sung Jae Im, crucially, was smiling away, congratulating Sebastian Munoz. Im knows he's going to win soon. He's only 21. He's bursting with potential. He's won twice on the Korn Ferry Tour. He'd be a multiple PGA Tour champion. And the clincher for him this week is last year he finished fourth in the Safeway Open, losing by just a shot outside the playoff. So last year's Safeway Open was his first regulation PGA Tour event, and he finished fourth. And a couple of weeks ago, Joachim Niemann, he won at the scene of his first regulation PGA Tour event. I can see him doing likewise. So yeah, your main bets, Morikawa and him.
Did you admonish him for smiling?
I wasn't impressed with the smile, but it shows sound mind, doesn't it? I mean, the caddy was going for massive smiles. I mean, I presume you didn't stay awake for that for the end of that. But
no,
yeah,
I turned off in disgust the moment that he blew that part. Yeah.
I thought it was a positive sign that he's smiling. He's a real sort of he's like a sort of robot in a way. Old Sung Jae-im. He's not going to let a lot ruffle him, and I think he gets straight back on the bike this week.
Ernie Els was the worst one, wasn't he, for smiling when he messed up? Well, I'm not even sure it was a smile. It's just like a gormless look that is sort of a smile. But I've backed Ernie Els far too much throughout his career, and whenever he messed things up and do that little gormless grin, he used to drive me absolutely mad. But as you say, Steve, that's the temperament, isn't it? They get over it so quickly.
That's the temperament you want. I mean, it'd be nice at the time if they replicated your feelings and just burst into tears and started fighting the golf course. But that'd make you feel better at the time, but you wouldn't be backing them again, would you?
Well, no, that's so true. Who are your other two then?
And my other two are Brant Snedeker, 9-time PGA Tour champion and former FedEx Cup winner. So great pedigree. 4 of those victories came in California. He loves putting on Poana greens. He's got them this week. And he almost won this tournament last year. He lost in a playoff. And bright recent form as well. 6th and 5th in the first two FedEx Cup playoff events. So Brant Snedeker will surely be in the mix again for this. And then the final one at a bigger price is Harris English, who lost his long game for a while. But the signs are really encouraging that he's got it back. He was excellent from tee to green over the last fortnight. He finished 3rd in the green. Greenbrier and 6th in the Sanderson Farms. He's won twice on the PGA Tour a long time ago now, 2013, but still only 30 years of age. Harris English typically putts well, and if his long game is back, which it seems to be, I can see victory number 3 for English coming quite soon.
Is he really? He's only 30?
Yeah, surprising, isn't it?
That's amazing, because he looked like he had the world at his feet, didn't he, at one point?
Very much so, John. Yeah, he was 23 when he was winning those two titles quite quickly, and he looked like a future Ryder Cup star, potential major champion. He's still got time on his side.
Blimey. Right, let's spin through the front runners again. Justin Thomas, why aren't you putting him up, Glenn?
Hey, just too short for me. That's a few weeks off. Got the game, obviously, high in the official World Golf Rankings, but do you want to be taking 6-13 to turbate him? Not me, thanks.
Fair enough. Patrick Cantlay, Steve.
Well, Justin Thomas, first one, must add, he's just had a cancer scare. Did you read about
what?
That one, Brucey? Yeah. He just, after the Tour Championship, found a mole on his left calf. It was in the early stages of melanoma.
Wow.
And he's had an operation, and they've cut a really deep chunk out of his, I think it was an inch or two out of his left calf. And he had a big scar there that he's been shown on Twitter. And he hasn't been able to practice much because he didn't want to tear the stitching in the calf. So, I think he might be a bit undercooked for this, Justin Thomas. Obviously, he's got the potential to win it if he is fully fit, but I'm not sure he is. Patrick Cantlay, massive flop at East Lake last time out. I mean, he bottled his chance of winning $50 million. I mean, it's a worst tip of the season for me. I mean, looking back now, I think perhaps that check did get into his head because, this is a player that lost 3 seasons to injury. And he must have been thinking, I can get all those lost earnings back in one go. I think the money got into his head. But, yeah, maybe a home state gig in California might get him going straight away. But I don't think there's any value in Thomas or Cantlay.
Okay. Asking Glenn about Adam Scott brings back very comical memories. What do you think of his chances this week, Glenn?
Again, I mean, he'd be suited to hear a fantastic driver of the golf ball, but it's on the greens where he struggles. He blows so hot and cold. So again, at the price he's quoted, I could definitely leave him alone.
Professional letdown merchant Hideki Matsuyama, Steve, always in contention, never actually brings home the bacon. Could it happen this week?
I think it could, because there's encouraging signs at the end of the last term. He actually started putting well, didn't he, in the final few starts of last season. So, he was 3rd at Silverado in 2014. The course suits him. Yeah, I can see Matsuyama entering the equation, but you're right. He hasn't won for more than 25 months now. So, we'll see where he can get over the line in front.
Okay. Glenn, which of Steve's 4 tips do you like the best? Morikawa, Im, Snedeker or English?
Morikawa, definitely.
Yeah.
I like the guy. Yeah, he's fantastic. He's got it all and he's going to go places, definitely.
Okay, chaps, let's review and recap our selections for anyone who wasn't able to scribble them all down when you were going through your cases for why you fancied them. So here we go. The nice, concise, solemn summary of this week's golf selections. Dunhill Links Championship, Steve Palmer.
Shane Lowry, Joachim Lagergren, Romain Langasque, Ross Fisher.
Glenn Day.
Robert McIntyre, Eric Van Rooyen, Joachim Lagergren and Callum Hill.
And in the Safeway Open, Steve.
Colin Morikawa, Sung Jae Im, Brant Snedeker, Harris English.
And Glenn Day.
Just the one, Lanto Griffin.
Lovely stuff. If you're only having one golf bet this week, what would it be? Steve?
Shane Lowry and Colin Morikawa are each way double.
You like that, don't you, by the sound of it?
I mean, that's strong.
We are due to net one of these big fish, aren't we?
Yeah. I think you should have that. And I think it might pay your mortgage off if you stake accordingly.
Okay.
If you've got a mortgage.
Glenn?
I'm all in Robert McIntyre.
Lovely stuff. Come on, Robert McIntyre. This is going to be his week. Right, then what's lined up on the horizon for you this week, Steve? Anything fun?
Well, I've got the in-laws visiting. I've got a four-day visit from the mother-in-law. So, I'm hoping to settle down on the sofa with the mother-in-law. And Thursday to Sunday is the visit. So, I'm sure we'll watch a lot of golf.
How does it work in there? So, you plot up on the sofa. You're focusing on the golf. And then she's nattering away to Nicola and everyone else and playing with the grandkids, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I was only jesting. I mean, it might be a bit more tricky to watch golf. But, yeah. If they can go off and upstairs and play with the children, maybe I can
It's your job, isn't it? It's your job to watch golf, isn't it?
It's a job of work, Bruce. It's a job of work. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's quite a difficult one, isn't it, when your job is to watch golf. A lot of people look at that and think that's not a proper job, but it ruddy well is.
Of course it is. If you don't watch it, how can you tip on it proficiently?
Absolutely. No, I will make this clear over the coming years and months.
I use the It's My Job card up after about 2 years, unfortunately. She soon realised that when I was watching some ridiculous ice hockey match, that it was a pathetic excuse to sit there punting. What about you, Glenn? Are you going to be hunkering down on the sofa and watching plenty of golf, or have you got any fun stuff outside the bubble?
Working at the weekend, and I'm meeting up with the Men of Steel tomorrow over at Romford. Grand Syndicate, a few guys that used to play cricket with. We've known each other for 35 years. A few beers, a catch up, and
That in Greater Romford or Romford Dog Track?
Romford area, yeah.
All right. You should go dog racing. They've done the dog track up. Apparently, it's superb now.
I think I was there a couple of weeks ago. I bumped into Dave down there. I've got a dog that runs over there, so with these guys. I like going over there. I go over there. You know, at least once every 6 weeks if I can. And
Is it nice, the new track?
Yeah, I mean, I've been going over there for donkey's years. The actual layout of it is pretty similar, but yeah, they've tarted it up, if you like. And yeah, it was nice, very pleasant. I had a good evening over there, yeah.
Lovely stuff. Excellent. Have you ever been to the... You quite like a night at the dogs, Steve, don't you, I think?
Oh, I love a night at the dogs, yeah. I really miss going to the dogs. I can't find the time for it at the moment. But I'm pleased they're tarting up Romford as Glenn says, because it's about time that the ground industry was revived. I was hoping Barry Hearn or someone might come in and revive it, because it's a great sport, isn't it? It's the true sport of kings.
Absolutely. And Glenn's boss Ben Keith was down at Pool Dogs the other week. He did one of his food vlogs there and gave it the big thumbs up. So you should get yourself down the road to Wimborne Road again, Steve, shouldn't you?
I should. I love ground racing. When I retire, I'm looking to go ground racing every night.
Blimey. Okay. We're back next week on the Golf Postcast, where we're looking at the Shriners Hospital for Children Open and the, oh my goodness, let's call it the Spanish Open. That's a very complicated sponsor's name. So we're back for that. I'm back on Friday looking into a packed weekend of racing. Hopefully you can join us for more great racing postcasts.
Give them a haul!
Long-term golf markets for 2020 available now on starsports.bet, including the Open, the Masters and the Ryder Cup from Wisconsin. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.